Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. His name was Shiso Kanakuri. Kanakuri was a Japanese marathoner who had competed in the domestic qualifying trials for the 1912 Stockholm Olympics. He had set the world record at the time and was selected as one of only two athletes that Japan could afford to send to the event that year. However, with all that going for him, he shockingly disappeared during the 1912 Olympic marathon event. See, he had a rough 18-day trip to Stockholm, first by ship and then by train all through the Trans-Siberian Railway, and he needed 5 days to recover for the race. Consequently, Kanakuri, weakened by such a journey from Japan, lost consciousness midway through the race and was cared for by a local family. Being embarrassed by his quote-unquote failure, he returned to Japan without notifying the officials. So Swedish officials considered him missing for 50 years before discovering that he was living in Japan. In 1967, he was offered the opportunity to complete his run. He accepted and completed his marathon in 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.3 seconds, remarking, I love this, it was a long trip. Along the way, I got married, had 6 children, and 10 grandchildren. Wow, I must say that's probably pretty close to what my marathon time would look like as well. Yet, I think it's safe to say that this is not the way that he wanted to start or finish the race. And this is like a lot of things in life, right? It's one thing to start, but it's quite another thing to finish. And to finish well. Indeed, according to John Acuff's book entitled Finish, 92% of people don't finish the goals or resolutions that they set for themselves. Yeah, 92%. It's sort of depressing to think about, isn't it? Last week, we started a sermon series on what's called the Red Letter Challenge. It's a sermon series, but it's also an opportunity to get into a devotional book with the same title and to get into a missional community or smaller group of people that can unpack all of this with you. And if you started it, or if when you start the challenge, I don't want you just to start it and then to fizzle out. Rather, I want you to start it, and then I want you to finish, and finish well. I want you to start it and ultimately live out the 5 red-letter concepts or targets that we're finding in Jesus' ministry. Do you remember what these 5 targets are? They're being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. See, for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about those 5 words that come out of Jesus' ministry, hoping that we might embody them as we see Jesus more clearly in them. Hoping that we see that our doing in ministry comes from being in Him. Hoping that we will see that Jesus is inviting us not just into a rite of passage or a ritual or another set of requirements or another religion. No, He's wanting a relationship with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Our King is with us. Our Savior and Lord is with us. And I get it. I think most of us want to say, hey, it was me. It was me who conquered that mountain. It was me that ran that marathon. It was me that lost that weight, overcame that obstacle. It was me that punched my way through that wall. Yet, you know, I hope we know by now that this RLC is not meant to be a diet or some one-hit wonder in our spiritual life. Actually, I hope through this challenge we get to see that the red letters of Jesus are meant to come to us in ways to apply beyond this, well into the journey of our lives in Christ, well into our vision work together as a church. And this is exactly why we need to start here today with being. Being. Rowing is an incredible sport. You know, I dabbled with it in college, which, to be honest, is to say, I used to walk by the building where all of the intramural rowers would meet, and I often thought about joining. But maybe because of that, I guess I've always been intrigued by the sport. See, its aim is simple. row across the finish line as a team and do it first. However, one of the main differences between this kind of race and others is that most of the rowers can't see the finish line. See, they're not supposed to be focused on the finish line. Instead, they're supposed to be focused on the coxswain or the steerer of the boat. And this person is like a conductor of an orchestra. He or she keeps people together, keeps them going, keeps them focused, and he or she alone sees the finish line. You know, as you think about that, this idea beautifully parallels Hebrews 12:2, which says that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, our Savior and Lord, for we don't see the finish line. He does. And he's guiding and encouraging and focusing us, not just on starting well, but on living and finishing well. Looking to Jesus is what we're called to do, and not just to look to him, but as the Bible says, we are encouraged to be with him, to live with him. For instance, John 8:31 says that we are to abide with him. Matthew 9:38, we are to pray to him. Luke 4:8, we are invited to worship him. Mark 6:31, we are encouraged to find our rest in him. Luke 15:32, we are to celebrate in him. Mark 2:27, we are to see that the law, the festivals, the temple, the scriptures all find their meaning and hope and fulfillment in him. And this is but the tip of the iceberg of this sort of understanding. Yet what they all seem to lean us toward is being with Jesus always comes before doing anything for Jesus. Still, you know, as I say that, I know that for many people, just being is boring. In fact, it's quite countercultural in many ways, for we all love measurable results. We all strive for efficiency, the mantra that we are here, we exist to make a difference. After all, we must make progress, or what in the world are we doing here? These things validate our existence. They give us something to point back to and even build upon, but they can also reveal a very real lack of trust in God, a lack of patience in his work, and a lack of endurance as we run as well. See, one of my big fears is that if we here together as a people, don't keep our eyes on Jesus, sooner or later we're going to lose his message as of first importance to our existence. Our real meaning for being here as his mission outpost. We're going to lose our tenacity to keep going, even though, you know, it might not go the direction that we want it to go, or things don't turn out the way that we thought they would, or they get tough, or sadly, maybe we might lose all of those things. Did you know that some of the most powerful people in the world have been known for taking naps? Yeah, I know we usually think about best bench pressing records or whatever, right? I mean, they eat so many calories or whatever, right? But some of the most powerful people have been known for taking naps. People like Thomas Edison, Leonardo da Vinci, Winston Churchill, Eleanor Roosevelt, even Arnold Schwarzenegger learned how to take naps on Venice Beach, all the while perfecting his tan. Yogi Berra had been known to say, I usually take a 2-hour nap from 1 to 4 p.m. The point, well, I don't know what your corporate nap policy is, right? But I think perhaps physiology is pointing us toward a deeper spiritual necessity. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Just be. Maybe that whole Mary and Martha thing is real. We do struggle with simply being, or we relegate it to the yoga mat, or to the mindfulness app, or to the self-help map before us. Still, Christianity is filled with all kinds of disciplines that, when practiced, emphasize simply being with God. And they show us that we cannot hope to do the things that he asks us to do until we've spent time being with him first. And here's how this can look in our lives. When I spend time with God, I cannot wait to do what He has asked me to do. When I come to church and worship, I have fuel then for the 6 days that are to unfold before me. When I read His Bible, I understand it's not just a set of concepts or principles, but it's about Christ. When I pray, I find hunger for the bigger and better things of life. When I Sabbath, I get that His commands aren't burdensome or ancient obsolescence, but they're made for me, because He made, redeemed, and sanctifies me. When I incorporate these things, private times then turn into public outcomes. It's not about giving more or about doing more, but Him calling me more. It changes the way I see the world. A great example of this is Isaiah 40, our remarkable Old Testament lesson for today. There Isaiah says that sometimes God works immediately. He does, doesn't He? I mean, this is verse 31. Sometimes God rescues. Sometimes God fixes. Sometimes God miraculously changes the situation and wow, we fly on eagle's wings. But that's not the only way He works, at least not in my experience and perhaps in yours as well. See, I think there's also times when God doesn't immediately fix the situation. Rather, He gives us the tools and He works alongside with us to repair the situation. This is Moses in the 10-plague Exodus. This is Daniel in the fiery furnace and then the lion's den. This is Ruth traveling to a foreign land and a woman by a well becoming then a powerful witness. God gives us the strength to run, verse 28, and eventually the situation changes. And sometimes it doesn't. That's 21 to 24. Sometimes He doesn't rescue us out of the situation. Rather, He changes us in the midst of it. His grace is sufficient as His power is made perfect in our weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. See, sometimes we run, and it takes us 54 years, 8 months, 6 days, 5 hours, 32 minutes, and 20.3 seconds, but we finish the race. See, God maybe has greater things in mind than changing your circumstances. He wants to change you. And it's all for Christ's sake. That's what 2 Corinthians 12:10 says. And it's just my guess, but if you're like me, you haven't always taken the time to trust Him like this, or to be with Him like this, or to wait on Him like this. Why? Well, easy, because we want to do something first. Because we want to do something now. We want to do something else. Often even making good things into ultimate things. Author Kate Bowler of Duke Divinity School has talked about what she'll call the gospel of hustle. The gospel of hustle that's pervaded American culture for decades. She laments popular axioms like, everything is possible if you will only believe, and everything you need is already inside of you. She says, quote, American culture has popular theories about how to build a perfect life. You can't have it. You can have it all if you just learn how to conquer your limits. There is infinity lurking somewhere at the bottom of your inbox or in the stack of self-help books on the bedside table, end quote. Yet at 35 years old, she was diagnosed with an incurable stage 4 cancer, which caused her to rethink such values and to wonder further about what enoughness, I like that word, enoughness, what would that actually look like? Well, friends, the Bible tells us where the fountainhead of enoughness truly lies. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In Him you will find rest, Sabbath. Physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, in Jesus we will be renewed by the remembrance of worship, the encouragement of His Word, the strength of prayer, the alignment of fasting, and we'll find it in a group, a worshiping community, and at times alone. And in Christ we will find retreat, the time to go off by ourselves and simply be with God. Isaiah 40, just hear it again. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ah, there it is. When we be in Christ. Sorry to grammatically butcher that, but when we be in Christ, we find rest. And it's there that we find stamina and endurance in Christ to go on, to start well, to run well, and yes, even to finish well. While competing in the 1968 Olympics, Mexico City, John Stephen Akwari of Tanzania cramped up during a high altitude, the high altitude of the city. See, he hadn't trained at such a high altitude back in his home country. So it was the 19-kilometer point during the 42-kilometer race that there was some jockeying for positions between some runners, and Akwari was hit. He fell, badly wounding and dislocating his knee alongside of an injuring his shoulder as he hit the pavement. However, he continued running, finishing last among the 57 competitors who completed the race. The winner, Mama Wolde of Ethiopia, posted a time of 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 26 seconds. Akwari finished nearly an hour later, and when he did, there was only a few people left in the stadium and the sun had set. As he finally crossed the finish line, a cheer came from the small leftover crowd. When interviewed later, he was asked why he continued running, and Akwari said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." Philippians 1:3-6, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." See, God didn't send us here only to start, but to finish, and finish strong. God is working in us. God is finishing what He started. This doesn't always mean it'll be easy, for in His ministry, He was accepted, He was hailed, He was loved. He was also cast out, mocked, and crucified, sometimes by his own family. Ultimately, for us and for our salvation. That 3-day race and greater 3-year race culminated in the empty tomb and in a victory that endures. It is finished. Salvation in Christ is complete, and we receive it without any work done by us. It's a gift we receive in a life into which we now live, promises made whole in Him and in Him alone. And our response is to run. To run this race with perseverance for the goal of Christ. He's not done with us yet. He's not done with this ministry yet. He's got a work to finish in us and a mission before us to be a part of. And God finishes things. And because He does, we will too. Not by our own strength, but in the joy of He who came for us. Remember, even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's my prayer. Lord, teach us simply to be. To be in and with you first, to abide, to find our worth and joy and salvation and stamina in you alone, our rest. Then indeed we shall run and not grow faint, and finish well. In Jesus' name. Amen.